I hope that you will in fact take some time today to look at the prayer focus and the names that are there. They would really appreciate your prayers today. Every now and then when I read a testimony, maybe you've just shared it with me or maybe you've written it down in a membership application or something else, I see the power in the hand of God transforming lives. And every now and then I like you to hear one of those testimonies. And so for a few minutes today, Frank Tepley is going to share his testimony. I thought it very appropriate today on Father's Day, and you'll figure out why when you start to hear it. And so I'm going to invite Frank up here, and then I'm going to pray for him and turn it over to him as he shares for a little while his testimony. Brother Frank? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you and love you. Thank you for this, my brother Frank. Thank you for what you have done in his life. God, I just pray that you would quiet his heart even now as he shares his story. It's a God story. And so thank you for him. Bless him. Lead him by your Spirit. And Father, glorify your name, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, my story, we live southwest of here by Turtle Lake. I was born and raised on the same place I live, so. And I was 46 years old in 92. I never went to church. Only time I went is weddings and funerals and did the wrong thing, looked at the wrong magazines, watched the wrong TV shows, listened to the wrong music. Worked with rough crowds, worked in car shops and farmed and different things. And if I did use Jesus' name, it was in vain. I don't use that anymore. I got some new sayings I put in place. Dirty dog is one of them. But my ma passed away in April of 92. And then my son, Craig, was killed in a car accident June 16th of 92, and that was really hard. I was a car salesman at the time in a used car dealership, and the highway patrol come in there, and he was looking, or he was just walking in, and I saw him, and I run over to him, thought he was going to buy a car, you know, a young guy. He said, "I'm looking for Frank Tepley," and I kind of felt sick right then, and when he told me, I just about passed out. I couldn't work no more. Somebody took me home. My wife was at home, and we just sat there and cried. We didn't know what to do. Either one of us had been going to church, and we had a pastor friend, or my wife did. She knew. A lot of you know him, Pastor Randy Tabor from the Methodist Church in Staples at that time. We called him up, and he came right over to our house, and we sat there and visited and all kinds of stuff, you know. And then we had to make funeral arrangements. It was just unbelievable. Hard, it was hard. And because I didn't know Jesus, you know. It just was, I didn't know. And our second day, you know, we were in Pastor Randy's office, and he was praying for me. And he led me to Jesus. And, you know, we call it born again, and that's what I call it, born again, because I truly was born again. From that minute, I did not swear. I if I had any magazines in the house, we got rid of them. I didn't watch no more TV shows that had anything to do with anything. And I was completely changed. And I still am to this very day. I use a little, I think in my mind, you know, I'm tempted, of course, like we all are all the time, different things. Not as much anymore, because I really can turn away from temptation a lot easier than I at the first, you know. But I always think in my mind, what would Jesus do? And pretty much, that'll take care of it. You know he wouldn't do this, so don't do it. Then another thing I always think of, you know, what happened if Jesus would come over to our house today? Would we have to do anything? Let's say he's coming to this afternoon and you knew it. Would you have to go home? Would you have to move books? Would you have to hide stuff? Would you have to do stuff? I'm proud to say we wouldn't, you know, and I think of that a lot, you know, just you got to follow Jesus. And me and my wife would have never, never made it through this if I wouldn't have gave my life to Jesus. And then after that was all over, and I still am not over it. In fact, when my son was 8 years old, this is Father's Day. Father's Day card he gave me, and I still have it, cherish it. And so after that was all over, 8 years ago, my daughter Shelley, 34 years old, which was in the Navy, and we were super proud of her. And she was in intelligence and going to make a lifetime career out of it. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And that same year, she died the day after Christmas in the Staples Hospital. And she wanted to be alive for Christmas. And we stayed there with her for 2 weeks every night in the hospital. And she believed in God, but she was not saved. And she knew me and my wife were, of course, and she always sent us religious tapes and religious things and little religious statues, but we knew she wasn't saved. And I think it was December 24th, my wife led her to Jesus in her room. So we really felt good about that. So I know she's in heaven. Still, my son, I still think about that. Bothers me a little bit. You don't know. He was a good kid. He loved people and he did a lot of things, and he did stuff that I didn't know about religiously. So hopefully he was saved, you know. I don't know. But I'm telling you, folks, if you're not saved, we would have never made it. Different people say, how can you do it? You know, because you blame each other. You say, well, my son died. We should have done this. My daughter, we should have done this. We should have done that. And a lot of people get divorced and what have you because their children are gone, because that's our only two children. So, you know, yeah, if you're not saved, I tell you, today is the day. Like he said, that guy was gone like that. And what if that's one of us tomorrow? We're gone like that, and you're not saved. We were listening to a station this morning. We're all judged. We're all going to be judged. I don't care who you are. You're going to be judged. And if you're not saved, folks, Jesus said, there's only one way to the Father, that's through me. And I'm telling you, if you're not saved, just do it. Just talk to Jim or, just, you know, you have to be saved. And since then, you know, this would have never happened to me ever. I would have never done this. I went on a mission trip to Saltillo, Mexico, and helped build a church. And I was a Sunday school teacher for a while in the Methodist church in Staples till things changed where I couldn't do that anymore. And I wanted to work at Vacation Bible School here, and I farm, and you know how that is when you got to make hay when the sun shines, so I couldn't make it. But I do work with Awana, and I'm trying to do stuff for kids. I've had many serious accidents in my life. I should have been killed probably 50-plus times. Sometimes that's another story, but a lot of serious ones. And I always wondered why God saved me. You know, why did he spare me? Why did he take my son at 16 and my daughter? How come he spared an old guy like me, you know? I think he wants me to do something yet. I think he wants me to work with children. And I think of that every time I go to Awana, and I wanted to work in Vacation Bible School, and I couldn't make it, but hopefully next year. I think that's why he saved me. I still think I got something he wants me to do, so I'm going to keep hanging in there. Thank you for listening, and if you're not saved, do it now. Thank you.
It's good to hear testimonies, isn't it? I told Frank he could take more time than he did because his story, it's good long or short. And you heard some of it. You heard the heartache that he and Cheryl have been through. And so Father's Day, well, you know what it means now to them, Mother's Day and Father's Day, with neither of their children. But yet they have Jesus. And they recognize that their hope is in Jesus. And they recognize that they have been saved, born again, redeemed, whatever biblical word you want to use, for a reason. And so thank you for bringing glory to God today, brother. Today's subject matter is Father's Day. And I'm going to invite you to, and interesting enough, Frank just referred to a verse that I'm going to refer to, invite you to John chapter 14. And when you, most of you know in your mind what John chapter 14 is about, and you know it has nothing to do with Father's Day. But that's kind of how I am. You know me well enough to know that I might pick something that has nothing to do with the day, and yet when we get done with it, I'll show you how it has everything to do with the day. The Bible has a lot to say about dads, about being a dad, about being parents, really. And as I have suggested to us many, many times, it would behoove us to read the Word and understand how our role of fathers and mothers, parents, should play out. Dads, granddads, caregivers, mothers, as Frank has just said, there is no greater joy, no greater eternal joy than when you see your children come to faith in Christ. Amen? Christmas Eve day for your beloved daughter. There's no greater joy, parents, caregivers, grandpas, grandmas. There's no greater joy for you to know, to see your parents come to know Jesus, because eternity depends on whether they do or they don't. Eternity depends on whether you do or don't, whether I do or don't. And there's no greater teacher, parents, dads, today. We spoke to moms a month or so ago. There's no greater teacher than this. Now, we can set it aside and we can call it obscure, like the world has, out of date. We could do that. And I think we would be in trouble if we do. Or we could use it and we could dig into it and we could live it and we could pass it on and we could teach it to the next generation. And so the next generation can teach it to the next generation. And I think we would do well if we do. There's no greater teacher than the Word of God to our children. And the other thing, men, and I know that you know this, there's no greater teacher than your example. Walk the talk. I could spend the rest of the time here telling about my failures as an example as a father. But I've learned some things. But children will look at their parents' example and how we live our lives way before they look at what you say. I can say all day long, don't do this, and if I do it, guess what? They really hang on to what Dad did. Not what he said, what he did, what he lived. America's children need their daddies. The world's children needs their fathers. I happened to grow up in a home that I had a good example. Good example from my granddads. Good example from my father. Our world needs to, our children need to see good examples, dads and moms. I remember when I was a kid. I'm going to embarrass Dad for a second, but he'll forgive me. I remember as a kid when I would see my father love my mother and kiss her in front of us, I'd say, oh man. You know what I'm saying? You got to do that in front of us? But that was a good example to me. His example of work ethic. When I look around today's society, and I was hiring people too for a while, and the work ethic, he's a good example to me of work ethic. It spoke to me. His example and mother's example of getting us to church on Sundays, even if it was cold, even if we only had a pickup truck at the time, and even if there was eight of us. We didn't worry about seat belts or child seats, either one, I'll tell you that. But that example meant something to me. Church was important. And we go even if the four oldest ones had to get under a blanket in the back of the pickup. Our children need their daddies. And even when they grow up, they still need them. Because the world will shape our children if we don't, if the Word of God doesn't, and we don't pray for them, and we don't give them the tools, and we don't love them on into the kingdom, the world will shape them and mold them, and pretty quick their minds are going to say, well, the world does it, so I can too. We need to show our kids that God has a better way. Men, our behavior behind closed doors are the real teachers of our children. We can put up one face in church on Sunday, and then we go home. That's what teaches our children. If I'm abusive to their mother, if I never show her any love, never show her any respect, never help her out, never read the Bible, spend all my time for myself, that is the teacher of our children. Whether I read the Word of God, I go to church, that'll be a teacher to my children. Let me just say this and I'll get to the Scripture. And please forgive me if it seems like I'm getting on, fathers. I am saying our children so desperately need daddies today, it is unbelievable. So desperately need men of God to lead our children, our grandchildren, our VBS kids, our neighbor kids, whoever it is. Our children so desperately need men of God to be men of God. I'm not getting after anybody. I'm just suggesting it's time for men of God to step up and be men of God. Even if we're old, like I'm getting. Our children don't need a rich daddy. They need a man of God that'll point them to Jesus. They don't need all the gadgets and gizmos and trinkets and everything else that everybody else has got. They need a daddy that'll point them to Christ. They need a daddy that'll love their mommy. They need a daddy. Little boys need a daddy that'll be example, to be a man with them. And our little daughters need a daddy that'll be an example to love them and tell them they're pretty. Because the world is going to, and the world will suck them up if we don't tell them they're pretty and we love them. There'll be a boy out there just waiting to suck up our little girls. We need daddies more than ever. Now John 14. And I know that you're thinking, I've lost my marbles, and I probably have. But I oftentimes do things in an unorthodox way that keeps you thinking. Doesn't it? Keeps you guessing. Keeps you thinking, what's he going to say next? John 14 is not a Father's Day passage. I use it in funerals. Often. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God, believe also in me. I've memorized these first six verses. I use them so often. In my Father's house, this is Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and bring you to myself, that where I am, there may you may be also. And where I go, you know, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. Frank quoted this a minute ago. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. I could elaborate on those verses a lot more, but I'm not going to. You know them very, very well already. Our children and our grandchildren need a dad that will be an active part of their lives today more than perhaps ever in the history of America. I've said it already, but showing our sons how to be responsible men of God, there's nothing more important than we can do for our sons. Loving our daughters, telling them, having a tea party with them if we need to, telling them they're beautiful, and show them that we love them so they don't go looking for love in the wrong places is vitally important for us as dads today. We need to teach them the ways of God. Our society will mold them. They'll mold them so quickly it'll make your head spin. And so, why did I choose these verses today? Well, I don't know. It's just what the Lord laid on my heart. Maybe it's because last Sunday, Wally Denny was sitting right here with us, and Monday he was gone to eternity. Maybe it's because Thursday, as I've said already, Vivian had her 55-year-old son with her, and all seemed well, and Friday he was gone to eternity. Maybe it's because of the shooting in Charleston, South Carolina, where somebody steps into a church house where people are worshiping and mows down 9 innocent people who are worshiping the Lord. I spoke to a man that lives 18 miles from that church this week in person. Maybe it's because of those reasons the Lord laid this scripture on my heart. I don't know. I do know this. Our children need to know Jesus. Our children need Jesus. I don't mean a head knowledge, brothers and sisters. I don't mean, yeah, I get to church once in a while. Yeah, I believe in God. Our children need to know Jesus. And this verse reminds us He's the only way. He's the one that said it. Not Jim, not Frank. We just repeat Jesus when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Christ the Son. Our children need to know that Jesus is their friend, but He is their Savior. Messiah, God. Our children need to know and to see how important Jesus is to their father and mother. Because if they never see Jesus as important to us, then how important is He? Let me just say this before I bring it all to close. If my life, and I'll use myself for an example, is wrapped up in making money, and I know we got bills to pay, I understand that, and the Bible tells us to be responsible, I understand that. But if my life is wrapped up in making money, skipping out on the things of God, whether it's church or Bible school or Bible study or prayer time or anything else, for other things, entertaining and amusing myself, that'll probably tell our story to our children of what's really important. You hear me today, friends? If Jesus is really important to Dad, to me, then my life should show it. If Jesus only gets what's left over, if I have time to do this, if I have time to do that, if I have energy to do that, If Jesus only gets that, we are conveying a very clear message to our children. He's not that important. If it's handy. If I have time. Dads, moms, grandpas and grandmas, caregivers, people of God in general, what we get excited about is what our children will get excited about. Are you hearing me? What Jim gets excited about, and I know I'm over the top, I get that. But what we get excited about in everyday living will excite our children. If all I ever want to do is amuse myself and entertain myself this way, this way, this way, and this way, that's what's going to be seemingly important to my children. And I know I have neglected my children for the kingdom. I know that. And I am sorry to my son and daughters for that. But the reverse can also be true. If I never show any zeal for Jesus, then how important is Jesus to my children? Or my grandchildren? Now, I got 9 of them little rascals too. And so, I'm simply suggesting this. Our children, no matter if they're our blood children or our neighborhood children, our church children, our whatever they are, adopted children, I'm simply suggesting that may our kids see Jesus is important to us. Right now in society, everything imaginable will grab their attention. The world will mold them. The world will form them into the world's clutches. And they'll say, the world is doing it, Dad, so why can't I? My friends are doing it, Dad, and my friends go to church, why can't I? I'm simply saying today, friends, our children need to see Jesus in their parents, starting with dads. Our children need to see Jesus in us. And when our children need a little guidance because they've stepped into the world, then don't beat them up with the Word of God, but show them the Word of God in grace and mercy and love and say, God's got a better way for you, son, daughter. I know you're 25 years old, or 30, or 35, or 19, but let me just show you, God's got a good way. God's got the best way. And so I'm just suggesting what Jesus said, and I quoted this verse last week from Matthew 5:16. Then I'll quit. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Remember the verse? We remembered it together last week. I'm suggesting that our children see the same light. That our grandchildren see the same light. The light of Jesus in our lives, so they will glorify our Father in heaven. I'm simply suggesting that we, people of God, let the light shine in front of our children for Jesus. And so, let me close with suggesting it's not easy. I could write a book on all the things I've done wrong. I've done lots of them. But with this and the living God as our guide, we can do some things right too. And to train up our children in the way that they should go from this is a good start. It's a good place to start. Jess, let's sing this last song. Our last song comes from page 573, doesn't it? 573? 573 in your hymnals. And let me just invite you to ponder two things. One, from Frank. Frank said, if you haven't been saved, that means born again, that means redeemed, that means justified. All those are biblical words. If you haven't been saved, brothers and sisters, that's where it has to start. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. If you admit you're a sinner who needs a Savior and He's the only one can save, that's where it has to start. I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. Jesus, forgive me and come into my life. Take over. It has to start there. You must be born again, Jesus said. And so if you've never done that, take the advice from Frank. Do it today. And friends, if you're here today and were a parent, will be a parent, just ask God to guide you and help you. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to. That's all there is to it. But ask God to guide you and help you with your kids, regardless of their age, their grandkids, that we will model to them Jesus. Let's stand and sing this song together. 573.